I almost dropped myself there. I'm not doing that again.
You're listening to Muppets in Character, the podcast that hitches a ride on a psychedelic Studebaker and takes a trip through the years to reintroduce ourselves to some of Jim Henson's wondrous Muppet characters. Histories, backstories, details, and memories of some of our favorite Muppets. And now, here are this week's panelists of Muppets in Character. Welcome to Muppets in Character. This is episode 11. I am Matt, and joining me once again are my sister, Karen.
Hello.
And my wife, Christy.
Hello.
And this episode, Karen is going to tell us all about the subject, which I didn't announce, did I? So actually, I'll let Karen take it and tell us who we're talking about.
We are going to be talking about the ubiquitous, mythical, sanctimonious Dr. Julius Strange Pork. Woohoo! There are a lot of big words.
There's some interesting adjectives for
they are,
a pig.
And they are all used to describe Dr. Julius Strange Pork at the opening of some of the Pigs in Space episodes.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah.
Watching those clips.
That is quite fun. Anyways, Dr. Julius Strange Pork, he is the elderly pig, German, with a German accent, which is extremely important.
Oh,
I don't know why. It just
I thought you were going to hit us with another thog level fact right off the bat.
No, it's just important because I don't know. I like the German language. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Horrible. It hurts my ears.
It is. And it's not easy to learn.
Do you speak German now much that you work for a German company?
As Chris would put it, nein!
Chris is in the heart of every episode of
he
the
is.
As podcast. Yes.
He's the blood that pulses through our veins.
Yeah.
Anyways, he is the resident scientist aboard Swine Trek, which is the spaceship that is the center of all Pigs in Space sketches.
Yes.
And he is the only one that knows how all of Swine Trek works.
The other two are there for the ride.
Yeah, they are.
They're ornamental.
Pretty much. It is Link Hogthrob and Miss Piggy. First mate, Miss Piggy.
I don't know if I like where this is going. First, I had to defend Bobby Benson. I think I'm going to be doing some Link Hogthrob defending soon here from the sounds of YouTube.
Well,
he's pretty.
Yeah. Anyway. Dr. Strange Pork he can be described as a Susquepedalian. Do either of you know what that is?
No. I don't even have a
what?
Guess.
Yeah, I had to look that up myself.
Susquepedalian.
A Susquepedalian is a person who uses big words.
Oh.
So right now, I am being a Susquepedalian.
I honestly thought it was something stupid like a pig that walks on two legs or something.
Oh, yeah. I could see where you would get that from that.
But you could get anything from that. That's
true. True. You could say he's 70 years old or something.
He's a cat that eats foam. Okay. That makes sense.
Nope. He's just the guy that uses big words. Which they say that, but I don't recall him. After watching all these episodes, I don't recall him actually using any extremely large words.
No. Now, as you pointed out, the large words are used to describe him,
but
I don't
yes.
recall him using large
no.
words.
So I don't know. A wiki page.
Yeah.
That's where I got it. His first episode, actually, his first actual appearance was in the Muppets pilot, the sex and violence episode.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't Dr. Strange Pork then. He was Dr. Nisaga.
Oh.
So his first appearance actually as Dr. Strange Pork wasn't until season 2. And that's when the Pigs in Space sketches actually started. And I would have thought that they were always there, that they started with season 1 and were always a staple.
I'm right with you. That's exactly what I assume. So this is another, not a little bit of a surprise to me, because this is, as you know, our last episode a couple of weeks ago, I had
had thought the babies were iconic. Well, it turns out they're really just kind of a better classified as a one-hit wonder. But Pigs in Space is iconic.
Right.
There's not much debating that.
No. I mean, you say Muppets and ask people what they remember most, and a lot of people are going to say, Pigs in Space!
And that's the only way you're allowed to say it, because that's exactly. How that's how you have to say that.
So, I have the first one. I want to play that.
Okay.
And now, Pigs in Space! Featuring the master of the swine trek, the intrepid and well-fed Link Hogthrob. And as first mate and second in command, the very cute and extremely dangerous Miss Piggy. And the super brain behind this whole ghastly mistake, the inexplicable Dr. Julius Strangeport. As you recall, last week the spaceship Swine Trek was on a suicidal collision course with a mysterious celestial object.
It's coming straight at us, but I can't tell what it is.
It looks like the headlight on a motorcycle.
We know what it looks like. We want to know what it is.
Testy, testy, mon capitaine.
Doc, would you look this thing up in your book?
Yes, no. It's not listed here under any known objects.
Look under unknown objects.
How could it be in that book if it's unknown?
There are some things even pigs don't know. Doc, how long before we collide with this thing?
Exactly 17 hours.
Good. Now that's the kind of man I like to have on my crew.
La-dee-da.
Excuse me, Captain. It's not exactly 17 hours.
No?
No. It's 17 seconds. Mm. I have trouble with those little decimals.
17 seconds?
Nice going, Doc.
Prepare for collision. It was a motorcycle.
I told you that at the beginning of this dumb sketch.
Lucky guess. Anyway, I got us out of that tight pinch.
Tune in next week for last week's chapter of Pigs in Space.
So he has trouble with the little decimal, which I can understand. He's German. They use the decimal as we use the comma.
Yeah, oh
and
my.
And use a comma in the decimal spot. Let me tell you, that's a pain in the butt.
Oh, I know. I must be for an accountant. Now, I work for an Italian-owned company, and it throws me for a loop every once in a while.
Thing. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't imagine working with numbers.
Yeah, it can be confusing. So I could see where he could get mixed up with the little decimals.
Now, I really paid attention to his lines specifically in this, and there's not a single word you would consider big.
No.
Not even by any much of a stretch of imagination. Is there? No. Could you call any of those words big words? Decimal was probably, honestly, the biggest word he used.
The biggest word, and even in... Someone in second grade would know what a decimal is.
Exactly, right.
Maybe her previous statement was being ironical.
Maybe.
I am not cutting out that dead air. That dead air deserves to be there.
Smack you both.
Payback for Bobby Benson.
Viva la Bobby.
Free Bobby.
Oh, wait, now so you're in favor of Bobby?
I don't know anymore. It's such an emotional roller coaster, that recording.
Yeah, all right. All right. So that was the first Pigs in Space. Now, Dr. Strangepork appears in 36 episodes of The Muppet Show.
I noticed that. I was like, dang. Relieved by your clip list. I was like, oh, thank
you. And 28 of those episodes were Pigs in Space sketches. So... I'm just going to touch on some of the more memorable ones rather than going through every single one of them.
I'm all for that.
Okay.
Not that I would never turn down. Actually, it would be fun to watch these all at once, but yes, that would be for a way too long episode.
The next one in season 2 that I have slated out is episode 5 with Judy Collins. They are Okay, so Dr. Strangeborg, and this one is described as ubiquitous.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got you. Yes.
Yes. And I don't remember what ubiquitous means. I think I've used it, but I don't really know what it means. It's one of those good 50 cent words that it makes it sound like you know what you're talking about, but you don't really.
Present, appearing, or found everywhere.
Does that make any sense? Is ubiquitous.
So how is Dr. Strangeport ubiquitous?
Existing or being everywhere at the same time. That is, I don't know.
They didn't know what it meant. They just picked it because it sounds like a good word.
Right. They're a bunch of septuagenarians or whatever that other big word was.
it says person who uses big words. I guess it doesn't, you don't really have to use them in the context that they're supposed
That's
to
true.
Be
using them and using them correctly are correctly. Two different things.
Yeah, it's true.
Septuplets.
Yeah. Look at Ricky from Trailer Park Boys.
Well, if he just stops and thinks about what he's saying. Okay. So they're rapidly approaching something, the mid-course correction maneuver. So it seems like in a lot of these episodes, they're rapidly approaching something, or something is rapidly approaching them.
Well, I'll just say this real quick. That's the beauty of watching this as an adult. When you're watching as a kid, you're like, oh, cool, pigs in space, especially if you're a fond of sci-fi. That's what drew it to me. Then watching it as an adult, it's like, oh, this is awesome. They're always in the midst of something we haven't seen, and we're not going to see what happens after. And that's one of the awesome parts about this reoccurrence of these sketches.
Right. And what happens is Piggy wants to implement this mid-course correction because she's been particularly trained in this maneuver. So she wants to be the one that does it.
Okay.
So of course her and Hogthrob start arguing about who's going to do it. She's finally going to do it, and he keeps reminding her which button they're going to push. She keeps saying, all right, I know what button. This button. Okay, I got it. He ends up pushing a button and pushes the wrong button, and then all things break out into mayhem. And like you said, we don't actually see what happens. We just know they screwed up.
Yep. Which is great.
Right. Cut, fade, print.
Your Hogthrob impression is horrible, by the way.
It's because they don't care for him.
I knew it. I knew I'd get it out of you. Oh.
He's so... I don't know. After watching 28 sketches of pigs in space, his lack of intelligence is just draining.
Okay.
Now you understand.
No. What? Hey. That was about me. That was horrible. That's not even worse impression than you.
Your impression is terrible.
I get it now. That's one of the funniest. You know, you must have watched this one, the one where the ship was off kilter and it was because Miss Piggy was standing on one side and Strangeport kind of going back and forth. And then that's classic Link Hogthrob when he figured out what's going on. He's like, I get it now. Come on, that's funny.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
We're not talking.
One out of 28.
All right, I'm not going to argue this. This is not about, only because this is not about Link Hogthrob. If we ever do that episode, I will. Are you this? That might be a stronger argument than Bobby Benson. I'm not going to get you off topic. Go ahead. Continue with Strange Pork, but keep in mind.
Free Link.
Watch what you say about Link.
Leave him alone.
Okay. Link. All right. So the next episode is another season 2 episode. And I had that one to play because this one actually kind of made me chuckle.
Okay.
Dr. Strangeport, who can save us from this hideous catastrophe?
Captain, according to my records, the only person who's had the necessary training to save us is First Mate Piggy.
Oh, I am ready to do whatever is necessary to save the Swine Trek and her crew. I am at the service of all Porkdom. What is my assignment?
Miss Piggy... You and you alone can operate the independent heating / unifying element across the horizontal equalizing plane and save the entire crew of this wine track.
Oh, I am ready, my captain.
Excellent. Bring in the equipment for Miss Piggy.
What is this?
Well, surely you recognize the independent heating slash unifying element and the horizontal equalizing plane.
You want me to do the laundry?
Well, of course. Nobody on the crew has had clean laundry for a week.
That is correct. We're all living like pigs.
An astute observation, Doctor. Hey, what say? You want to play a little touch football? Toss the old pigskin around, huh?
Right behind you, Captain.
Oh, one more thing, Miss Piggy. A little less starch in the pajamas, okay?
Oh, yeah? We'll starch this, sausage snout!
That one made... I don't know. That one made me laugh.
I can't laugh at that because we had a laundry discussion earlier today.
Ooh.
Oh. All about the magical fairies that seem to take the laundry?
She said, what do you think? If laundry does itself? That's my experience. What happens? I don't know. Okay. Strange pork.
Apparently, you didn't recognize the independent heating unifying element.
No. I now, did. If you called it that, I might do more laundry.
And the horizontal equalizing thing?
I said might. I didn't say would.
Oh. I'm not going to get into that one.
Yeah.
Save yourself.
Leave that alone.
Okay. So in between there, in season two, there are
many.
5, 6, 7. Yeah, there's six other pigs in space sketches.
That's I'm looking at the list.
Yeah, there's a lot. But in season two, there is... on the episode with Peter Sellers, he does a song called Cigarettes and Whiskey. And Strange Port is in the chorus, and he's singing along in the chorus. He's dressed in a top hat and formal wear. And just like in the Bobby Benson, he comes out. It's something that you would never see at all in these day and age, is he comes out with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Mm.
And
when it's convenient to use Bobby Benson as an example, we have no problem talking about him, but that's okay.
Free Bobby.
So other than that, in season two, it was all pigs in space. And it's pretty much, looking at it, it's almost every episode of season two, they had, especially in the second half of the season, they had the pigs in space sketch. So it was pretty popular then.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I was always happy when Pigs in Space came on.
Yeah, I can remember being excited about it, too. And now, watching it as an adult...
A little different, huh?
It's like, why did I get so excited about that?
Oh. No, you are right, though. The memory of it is better than the jokes. They're not good. And I had... thought more than once before if the Muppets had concentrated more on being a film franchise instead of TV, which I think actually would have been a bad idea. It certainly needs to be on TV and needs to be in this rapid short format. But if they had gone the film route and done more films and done spinoff films, they probably would have very possibly done a Pigs in Space movie, and I am not sure how that would have or could have worked out.
I don't know if I could have sit through.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would have been a lot to take for 2 hours.
I think so, yeah.
Or even an hour and a half. Now, did they reference it in the Muppets from Space movie?
Mm-mm.
I didn't think so.
I was expecting, I do remember expecting it the whole time, and it didn't happen.
If they were going to put it in somewhere, that would have been... the movie to do it.
Sure. Well, yeah. Seriously.
I was kind of surprised they didn't. So season three, the first Pigs in Space sketch is actually one that I kind of remembered seeing. Like when I thought of Pigs in Space, this was one of the sketches that came to mind. And it starts off with they're drifting aimlessly in space due to the loss of power in the control panel. Mm. And Strange Pork is able to fix it, but he uses parts from the toaster.
Okay.
So, now you remember yeah, in this sketch? So when they pull levers, one of them goes down, and then when they pull it back, again, pull another one, they pop back up like a piece of toast.
Yep, yep.
And I always, that one always comes to mind when I think of this.
Yeah, I, as soon as you said that, I remember that.
They're just, as they're getting back at each other for pulling, they're all just pulling levers and everybody's disappearing and there's different Muppets popping up and coming in, and it ends up with one of my favorite, and Matt, you mentioned as one of your favorites before, Chopped Liver.
Yeah.
Ends up in the captain's chair. Yeah. So that one, I is probably one of my favorite sketches.
That is, yeah. That's a good one.
I do remember that. Now, the next episode that we see him in is in season three, is the very next episode, the fourth episode with Gilda Radner, but it's not a Pigs in Space sketch.
Yeah, asked for the audio of this, and I don't, is this, well, before I say that, is this the UK clip, or is this an airing clip? It is.
No, it's a UK spot.
The UK, okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense then. Now, this is third season, and we've watched all the DVDs all the way through, so I have seen this, but man, did I not remember it from that viewing at all.
Yeah. Let me play that.
Autumn came along. Love's young dream gone wrong. We went round to call. Servant with a grin said,
"She's not in. Nellie's gone away. That's all."
Yeah, so that's Strangeport playing the servant in the song, which is called "The Bird on Nellie's Hat."
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a popular song, or was a popular song in the UK, which is why they did it for the UK spot.
Sounds like an old standard.
Well, it says, that's funny you said that. Just as they pulled up, it said it was popularized in 1907 by vaudeville star Helen Trick. So it's real old. It's a vaudevillian act. So that goes way back, which this is not the first vaudeville thing. It's actually one of many that the Muppets have done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this one is, yeah, this is probably the only second time in my life I've seen this. Are you waiting to see if I was going to go on?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead.
No. All right. So in that same season, there's one other episode that he's not playing on the Pigs in Space sketch, which is with Gene Stapleton. It's the opening number. Annie Sue, one of the other Muppets, and the pigs are singing Tiki Tiki, which is a Brazilian dance song. And Dr. Strangepork is playing the maracas, and he's wearing a shirt much like Marvin Suggs.
Yeah.
With the frilly sleeves, rainbow sleeves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I remember that. That is the, when you said you were going to do Strangepork, I immediately think Pigs in Space, and I was trying to think what else he's done, and that was the only other visual memory I could dig in the deep, echoey, spiderweb-filled recesses of my memory that I could pull out of him was him in that outfit.
Yeah.
But I could not remember the performance until you just said that now. But I do remember seeing him in that outfit, and it's probably more accredited to the episode we did about Marvin Suggs than actually remembering him in that. Go ahead. I'll be late, Chris. Go ahead.
Go ahead. The next Pigs in Space one I'm going to talk about, I don't have a clip for or anything, but it's, again, the Alice Cooper episode.
Yay.
And Hogthrob is suffering from a mysterious space disease. And what has happened is the Cosmotron has made them invisible. And the reason I wanted to talk about this episode, it's not so much about Strangepork as it is the post-production, I guess, that they did when making them invisible.
I'm looking at a still shot.
I don't know. It's just, it's them. They're outlined in white.
Right.
It's just like a white outline of the Muppets. I don't know if I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
And it just looks weird.
And this is called, and I don't know the name. It's called something. It's a specific effect, but even the name of it isn't a descriptive term. But yeah, you'd have to, if you don't remember this, look up the quickest way to look it up is look up the Alice Cooper episode on Muppet Wiki and scroll down to the still image they pulled from this, and they have a real good shot of it. It is odd, but. Yeah, it's, they had to have done this in two shootings, so that's actually pretty impressive, the overlay work they did on this back then. Again, if you take in consideration how old this is.
Yeah.
Or not.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was looking at it from a perspective now. It's like, the way I thought of it is almost like they filmed it and they weren't quite sure how they were going to make them invisible.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe, it might have been just the technique that they had available to make them invisible was just obviously not on par with what it is today. I'm sure when I watched it as a kid, I was like, oh, they're invisible. Yeah.
Well, okay, but here's...
You can see through them. It's more like you could see through them as opposed to them being invisible. Like, you still knew they were there.
It's not like the invisibility duck in Muppets from Space.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't present what I would say, or I don't think I might present in my opinion really what I meant. Okay, the visual effect of it is, yeah, not so good. I'm more impressed with the fact that they had to shoot everything with Strange Pork and Piggy without Link Hogthrob, yet have them interact where he would be, and then do the same exact camera shots with Hogthrob without those two and doing the same thing again. So they had to perform, two performances, two and with identical camera shots, and then perform against, you know, the Muppets, the visual points that the Muppets reference points wouldn't be there. So they had to really concentrate on where the Muppet would be looking and imagine where the opposite side of the conversation would be. That is what I'm more impressed of than the actual effect itself.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's Spigs and Space sketches in season 3, and one of them from season 3 is one that we talked about in the Coosbane episode, when they land on planet Coosbane and Piggy and Hogthrob are fighting over who will be the first to set foot,
right?
And it turns out to be Sleeping Rocks and George and Martha.
George and Martha.
Okay, so we go into season 4, and season 4 actually starts off with Strange Pork's first appearance is not a Pigs in Space. It's Crystal Gale. Crystal Gale's the guest for the episode. And the pigs are doing an Oompa-type song called Swanee? Yeah.
Swanee, they sure are.
Swanee, it's confusing me. I'm thinking Swanee as the bird, but I guess it's supposed to be like swiney, but Swanee.
Oh, maybe.
But it's not just the pigs. There's penguins, walrus, rabbit, a goat, and the pig ensemble is playing the music. So I have a clip of the music.
Okay.
So there we actually heard a little bit of Dr. Strangeport singing in his native language.
Right, there you go. And that was really, I had watched that whole thing because I didn't. Now, is this the UK spot as well?
No,
or is this just forgettable for me then. Okay, I watched that whole thing, and that is, you obviously can't see it on this show, but that was his spotlight moment. He was playing the piano, if I remember correctly. Yes, that's when we see the most of him in this.
Yeah, the whole 2 seconds.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so then the second appearance is the Pigs in Space episode.
Yeah.
It's an episode with Dudley Moore. And early in the episode, he introduces his, it's a robot contraption called Mama.
Okay.
It's a music and mood management apparatus. So it's a robot that plays music.
Yeah. Okay. Jukebox.
Yeah. Pretty much. And it's used in the Pigs in Space sketch, which I have.
Okay.
It looks like one of those things that scientists send up from Earth. What do you call them?
Satellite.
Of course it's a light. Looks like a lot of lights, but what do you call it?
Mon Capitan is off to a great start.
Link, I've just found out what that object is.
What is it, Dr. Strange Pork?
I'll tell you when I make my entrance. Machine was sent up here to underscore this sketch.
Oh?
Yeah, that music was for my entrance.
Pretty big fanfare for a mere passenger hyphen scientist. Imagine what it would be for a captain. I think I'll try it. Here I go. Your captain is here.
Hey. Look, Strange Pork, you mean we're stuck with that all through the sketch?
I'm afraid so.
Well, isn't there anything we can do?
Nothing.
Get ready. This is a catastrophe! How come it always plays dumb music when I talk?
I won't.
This thing, I was looking up Mama as you were doing that, and this looks familiar. Is there a toy version? I'm trying to find it now. I think there's a toy version of this. Do you know, Christy? Did it come with?
Maybe.
It looks like a Dalek.
No.
It looks not like a Dalek.
Doctor Who in character.
Looks like a Dalek.
Yes, it comes with the Doctor Strange part. Figure. So we have this in your Muppet room. Okay. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know what that was. I just thought it was a contraption. Oh, neat. So Mama has a toy.
That's interesting.
Bobby Benson doesn't have a toy, but Mama has one.
Bobby Benson didn't make it that long into Palisades. No, Palisades didn't make it that long.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
In the next episode that we see him in season 4, he's actually... Beverly Sills is the guest, and she's singing opera, and she starts off, you know, singing the Semper Libra.
Because kids love opera.
Exactly.
And their parents do, too.
It was a way to expose children to culture.
Okay, like Momochans.
Momochans.
Momochans, whatever their names are. The toilet paper head, that's all I remember.
And the clay face.
But as she's singing it, she keeps getting interrupted, and she's interrupted by a group of pigs, including Dr. Strangeport, that are dressed as matadors that are singing the Traidor song, but they've made up their own lyrics. So he's dressed as a matador singing piggish opera.
Ah. Again, kids love opera.
Exactly. We'll skip to episode 17 with Mark Hamill.
Now this one. This is a classic.
Now, see, watching this, I didn't remember seeing this one.
Really?
Yes.
And no. I know why. I didn't miss this.
I'm sure you didn't.
No.
It's actually a two-part sketch. And in part one, Star Wars guests Luke, C-3PO, and R2-D2 have hijacked Swine Trek. And Mark Hamill is at the helm with 3PO and R2-D2 complain that they're complaining it's a pigsty.
Ah, pigsty. Wah, wah, wah.
And Link shows up to ask why they have hijacked the plane, or the plane, the ship. And it's to rescue Chewbacca.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I actually forgot that. Yes. Now, we've had several requests when we started Muppets in Character to do a crossover with the guys from Star Wars in Character, which includes myself, of a review of this. And that might happen. That is one crossover that no one has, like, shook their head at or said they didn't want to do. So that may happen in the future. So we might be talking about this episode at great length very soon with some special guests and us on their show or my show. Or that's so confusing, being on multiple shows for me. So that might come down the road sometime.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So Strange Pork comes in and he's all excited that R2-D2 is there. Yeah. And
looks like Mama, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And he wants to play with him, but he's warned by C-3PO that he's not a toy, yet he starts pushing buttons and ends up going flying across the room, a la right. R2-D2 style.
Yes.
And then Piggy shows up, and she's dressed up as, take a guess?
Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she came as Jar Jar Binks. She had a magic crystal ball.
Misa, I'm looking for you, sir.
That was good, actually. It was good and awful.
Yeah.
I never knew I could do that.
But oh no, there's Darth Nader.
Darth Nader.
Darth Nader. And that's where they end part one.
Yep.
Part two opens up, and they need to make a soft landing on the planet. But they don't say what planet it is.
Right.
So I wonder if it's planet Coothbane, or...
It's always planet Coothbane. And that's the only other planet in the galaxy. Yeah. Tatooine, Kashyyyk, and Coothbane. Yep. Dagobah doesn't even exist. It's actually the other side of Coothbane. It's the swamp land of Coothbane. It's the Florida Coothbane.
Yeah, that's it. So when they land, they try not
to... Thank you. You just gave me my bit for that crossover episode. I'm going to map out all the known territories from Star Wars films into locations on Coothbane.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
After they land, they need to find refuge. They try to find refuge in a cage, which happens to be inhabited by Darth Nader.
Yes.
So that's when we find out what Darth Nader is. And everybody remember?
It's Gonzo.
Gonzo, yep. Gonzo in a Vader outfit.
Nader, it didn't obviously strike me as a kid as meaning anything. As an adult, when I find out who Ralph Nader is, Nader's an odd choice for the name. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. This might be something I research when we do that crossover. Is this a nod to Ralph Nader in any sense? I can't see that it is, or is it just that the name sounds the same?
I think it's just because the sound
sounds like
it, maybe.
Again, I'll see what I can find when we do that episode. I don't want to linger on it, but that just always seemed... Once I found out that was a name, someone of somewhat fame with the name Nader, just seemed like an odd choice, but it could be just the, like you said, the rhyming thing.
Yeah. So now they're in the cave, trapped by Darth Nader. And they call on Chewie to save them. And the only thing that can stop Chewie is McGonagall the Argyle Gargling Gargoyle.
I like him. I almost dropped myself there. I'm not doing that again.
And nothing could save them now except a song and dance number.
God, that is the part of the episode. As a, I don't even know how old I am, a 7-year-old, I'm just sitting there shaking my head.
Even that was sad.
Yeah, it's like, at that point, this is well before anything, any kind of mass media consumption. No VCRs, no nothing. Mm. Any Star Wars you got was on TV, and even that Star Wars, I'm just like, oh, no, no. C-3PO doing a soft shoe. No, it's not.
Oh.
That scene, and only that scene, not this episode, that scene rivals the holiday special.
What, in being terrible?
Yeah.
Okay.
And being head shaking.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I will not say that at this episode, because otherwise the episode is fun. The whole Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker being two different people is fun, but that dance number,
no way.
And I can't wait for Chris to see it.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
All right. So from there, we will jump to season 5, which
all his appearances are pigs in space, according to this list I'm looking at.
Yes. All yes. They are all pigs in space. He had no additional appearances, unfortunately, in season 5. And this seems to be... There's 7 episodes that the pigs in space show up in. And that seems to be the shortest collection.
Yeah.
Out of them all. And I don't know if that's because they were running out of ideas or just the fanfare for pigs in space was going down. But I mean, like you said, as a kid, I can remember getting excited when it came on.
Yep.
Still don't understand why, but yep. I did. and this one has one of my favorites. So I'm going to play that right now.
Okay.
The Swine Trek is just about to be boarded by a sinister spaceship from the Crab Nebula.
Oh, the Crab Nebula, I'm so frightened. They're all such mean baddies over there. There he is!
Glubble, 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 glubble.
Oh, help!
Hey, will you 86B-ing? I'm trying to take a nap.
But this weird alien from the Crab Nebula just boarded the ship.
Glubble, glubble.
So what does he want?
I don't know. I don't speak Crab Nebulese.
Why don't you use the universal translator right there? Knuckle brains.
I represent Swunko, the wash day miracle. Guaranteed to turn your gluboo sparkling pink without rinsing.
Well, we knew it was important.
Sparkling pink, huh? I'll take a dozen boxes.
You don't have any gluboos.
Make it half dozen.
Link. Link's letting me down.
Link and his gooboos.
Yeah, see, now you're getting it. So that one is probably one of the that Strange Pork has the most lines in.
Yeah.
And I have it noted here, I don't know why, that it was the episode that they were boarded by Chopped Liver, but apparently that's not the right one.
Well, that's the Chopped Liver alien going the booga booga.
Oh, okay.
That's the puppet.
The Muppet.
Yeah.
I guess I thought they called him Chopped Liver then too, but
he's been just as a side note, and actually he doesn't have enough to do in his own episode, so now's as good a time as any.
Yeah.
He is got two names. He is Chopped Liver and Liverwurst. So he's had two identities, and the name has both been used in Pigs in Space. He's been called Liverwurst in one scene and Chopped Liver in another. So. Yeah.
And for some reason, I always remember that Muppet, even though it's only seen like two or three times in the five seasons. Chopped Liver is one of my favorite Muppets. I don't know why.
It was, I don't know if you remember this, but you and I had a Fisher Price book that you'd put they had little records inside them. I mean, they're real small. They're like 2 inches across, and you put this little record player on it, and it would tell like a 40-second, it would read what was on the page. It's like a 40-second recording for each little record. And we had a Muppet one, and this Muppet book had a Pigs in Space scene, and it was one of the liverwurst, or I think it was the liverwurst one of this character. So he was in that book that we had played with for a long time. So that
that's
might be
maybe why I always.
I think so.
Huh. I don't remember that book, but right. That would explain why I always remember chopped liver.
Yes,
or liverwurst.
We did play that little record device on that thing many times. So I think that might have a lot to do with that.
Did it suddenly disappear? That mom and dad didn't want to hear it anymore?
No, it didn't disappear. In fact, I'd wish when we started doing the show, I'd wish I had it to be able to record those. But I doubt they might have the book, but the player is probably long gone.
Was it one of those little plastic players or?
I think it was called a Fisher Price Read to Me.
Let's see if we can find it somewhere.
Yeah, I do see the book. The book is actually pretty prevalent on eBay, and it's usually in the $25 range. That's not bad. The player is usually like starts at $100.
Oh.
If it's work to get a working one of those is.
Oh, was it like a little handheld thing?
Yeah,
it was like this, probably like the size of a Game Boy in shape, but it was real thick.
It's called a Fisher Price Talk to Me, so I think so. And it just had two buttons, start and stop.
And you put it on, and then I remember that device now. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple books, but the Muppet one was the one the other ones were like original stories for Fisher Price. I think the Muppets one was the only licensed one that we had, and I don't think they had many. I think they had that and maybe, I don't know what the other one would have been, like two or three of them to choose from. But we had the Muppet one, and yeah, it was cool. I want one.
And there was one other sketch from that episode that I wanted to bring up because I figured it's probably not something we'll ever talk about because it doesn't have any. I don't think it has any named Muppets in it.
Okay.
It's the Melissa Manchester episode.
Oh.
With the Don't Cry Out Loud.
Thank you for why. Do you remember this? You didn't catch up on the clip, so do you remember that skit, the Don't Cry Out Loud, which is grammatically incorrect, by the way? I'll see if I can find you a still. The still shot is all you would need to remember how creepy this is. Scene is. Yeah. Oh, and
You're
of course
the
there
wrong
is
one.
None. Oh, who am I in? Oh,
Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, they don't have a still shot for it.
Oh.
But go ahead and describe it. I'm going to find it for Christy.
Oh, she's singing the Don't Cry Out Loud, and I don't know if they took the lyrics literally about the girl running away with the circus, but they have these three clowns that are doing like an interpretive dance around her, and in the background is a marionette on a high wire.
Ooh.
It's just very
weird.
Like
Muppet legs in action have always creeped me out. Now Kermit's sitting on the ledge when he interviews like Vincent Price or something, and they're crossed. When they are standing on them and they're moving, that always is unsettling to me.
Yeah,
I'm showing it at Christy now. I turned the volume off, but I'm showing her the clip.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
So if your kids didn't have a fear of clowns before they watch this, they will after they watch it.
Yep.
Wow.
I didn't like this then. I don't like it now.
I think I can explain a lot of children, kids that we knew, their fear and phobia of clowns just from this episode.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
And that's what I've got. I mean, there's more pigs in space, but
it's
a lot more. But I think that covers his most memorable, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the pigs in space stuff for sure for me.
Yeah.
And we opened the show talking about this, and I'll say it again. It is an iconic part of the Muppet Show. And it's something you and Karen, you said it, everyone, and Chris, maybe you both said it, but everyone remembers it. So much to the fact that in the same year, I had run the Space Coast half marathon out in Cocoa Beach near Kennedy Space Center. It's a shuttle, it's a space program themed race, and people dress up for it. I saw three people, two men and a woman had on like gray running shirts, and they made these felt logos of the Pigs in Space thing that they had kind of ironed on to them.
That's cute.
And that same year, Christy and I had gone to this Muppet or Puppet Muppet
art, guess, show.
Art show.
Muppet art show.
It was Muppet themed specifically, right? Mm-hmm. Art show. And this was brilliant. Someone had taken a Buzz Lightyear toy and taken the Buzz Lightyear head off and put a Link Hogthrob on there and painted the Space Rangers a Pigs in Space uniform motif.
Yeah.
It looked great. And on the bottom, instead of saying Andy, it said Jim.
Oh, that's cute.
It was really cute. It was really neat. So
there was some really neat stuff there.
Yeah, but just talking about Pigs in Space, that is just... Everybody knows that. If you remember who the Muppets are, almost everybody probably is going to remember Pigs in Space.
Yeah.
And this is Strange Pork's claim to fame. And I went to the Link Hogthrob stuff, and I expected to see basically only Pigs in Space stuff, but he has actually had more of a career in terms of appearances than Strange Pork. So Strange Pork and Pigs in Space are that they are tied at the hip.
Yeah, they're synonymous.
They're synonymous. Yeah. Yep. I enjoyed that. I like Pigs in Space and I like him.
And he's performed also by Jerry Nelson.
Ah, again.
Yep.
Apparently our collective favorite Muppeteer.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess we can wrap this up. And next up, it is going to be Christy's turn. So, Christy, why don't you tell us what we're going to be talking about next episode?
I'm going to do something a little unusual because we were in talking some other episodes of things that are similar to Kermit. Got to thinking about how many variants of Kermit there are. So I would like to do an episode about all the different incarnations of things that are similar to Kermit, either... Like, what were we talking about? The Kermit?
Well, it came up because you wanted to do Constantine, and that's where the idea came from.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen Muppets Most Wanted, you know everything there is about Constantine right now. So it's that kind of thing. Like, different, like, oh, when we did Coosbane's, that was a version of Kermit. And then we actually looked into it a little more, and there's actually quite a few to talk about. So that should be interesting. Yeah. And that will probably be our first real, well, yeah, we haven't had one yet. That's probably going to be our first real big discussion about Muppets Most Wanted, too.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Coming out August 12th.
August 12th. Yes, dear. All right. Well, if you have anything to say or to share about Julius Strange Pork or Pigs in Space, I almost said Muppets in Space. That's a movie. But Pigs in Space, feel free to post anything you'd like about them or any of the episodes we've done or what episodes characters you'd want to hear about on episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/muppetsincharacter. You can always drop us an email at mic@newsaz.com, and we have a contact page as well as all of our old or previous episodes on our website at mic.newsaz.com. So with that, we will be back with our next episode and all the Kermit the fill in the blanks.
Kermit the Blank.
When we come back, if there are a new episode of Muppets in Character. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Muppets in Character. Muppets in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com Internet Entertainment Network. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, visit NeoZaz.com. The Muppets in Character podcast is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Walt Disney Company. All Muppet characters, names, places, and Muppet-related events are copyright the Walt Disney Company or their respective trademark and copyright holders. For the latest Muppets and Character shows and information, visit our website at mic.neozaz.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/muppetsandcharacter. Can you picture